Good morning, everyone. It's so good to be with you. We're going to do a quick just reading of Scripture. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read through from verse 14 down to verse 21, and then I'm going to pray. The Lord's blessings are already on all of this. Thank you to all of the servants. It is amazing. I would love to have church out here every Sunday. I think it's incredible. I've always wanted to, like, start a church on a beach, not here, but, like, somewhere south. Imagine if, like, the ocean were crashing in right now behind us. That would be ideal. But this is close. This is good. If anybody wants to build us an amphitheater outside, I think it'd be incredible. Just have church services outside, maybe in the back there facing the woods. I don't know, just an idea. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." He says here, Paul writing, "Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, and they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. But notice here, end of verse 15, "But unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, because of that, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, the Holy Spirit says, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit," Paul says in verse 19, "that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing," not tallying up, not, it's a banking word, not record keeping "the trespasses of us, and he has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then," he says, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, and we pray you in Christ's stead that you be reconciled to God. For he," verse 21, "he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin," this is incredible, "that we might become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ our Lord." Father, we thank you for this day. What a week, Lord, with all the rain, and you gave us this perfect morning. We're thankful that the sun is out, Lord. We're thankful that the water is warm, and we're thankful for the freedom in this country. Particularly, Lord, yeah, Lord, we do. We give you thanks. We thank you for our freedom in this nation, Lord. There's so much grumbling and complaining about all of the nonsense going on in our world, Lord, but we're grateful that we have our freedom still, that we can have church, that we can have church outdoors, that my voice is echoing, Lord, in this community as I present your word. God, we're grateful that we can sing praises to you, that we can baptize out in the open. Lord, bless all of our servicemen and women. Bless our president and the leaders of this land. We pray for revival. We pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would bless this time today, Lord. We thank you for everybody here. We thank you, God, for this chance to baptize today, Lord. Bless each person who's being baptized. And bless every hearer of your word, Lord. Minister to our hearts as we move through this portion of Scripture briefly. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to say this to you. Paul is clear here that not only have we received this ministry of reconciliation from God, by God, through Jesus Christ, but he then says that we are now ambassadors of it. And he says that the Holy Spirit through us wants to beg men to be reconciled to God. And I think that's pretty wild that we have to be begged by God to be reconciled to him who did nothing wrong. He's reconciling us to us when he's innocent. It's us who's guilty of sin. It's us who's depraved. It's us who need a changed heart. It's us who need to become a new creation. Yet he stoops down to us, he reaches down to us, and then through us to speak to the whole world, which I'm doing to this audience today. And I'm offering this invitation as an ambassador. That means I don't have my own message. It means I'm a heralder of the king's message. I'm sharing his message. And this is a word that if any man Okay, there's like five precious thoughts to verse 17, and I'm going to break it down this way. So if you know there's five and I start with this first one, you'll know where I'm at in my message and how quick it's going to be. He says, if any man, that means if there's any person, this is an invitation to any person. Even if you came here today thinking you're just here to watch your buddy, your girlfriend, your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, and you thought you came just to be a spectator, Jesus invites you this morning into this newness of life. If any man, he says, any person, no matter what your skin color is, no matter what your background is, no matter how much is in your bank account, listen, no matter what sin you have done, says Jesus, if any man without any discrimination wants this, it's for him. If any man be in Christ, the position, that's number two. First is the person, the second thing is the position, in Christ. You got to be in Christ. You want newness of life? You want old things to pass away? You want a fresh start, right? You want heaven to await you? Then your position has to be in Christ. The Bible says that before we receive this invitation of reconciliation, before we receive this gift, you got to receive a gift for it to be yours. You are outside of Christ. You are at enmity with Christ. Paul says in Ephesians 2 that you're like a meander through the world, like an animated zombie with no hope. You have no hope. But then when you receive this invitation of the gospel, when you receive this invitation of reconciliation, when you welcome Jesus into your life, your new position is in Christ. If any man, that's any person, be in Christ, that's their position. You have Jesus in you and you are in Jesus. It's new life. It's Christ is your life, right? Then he goes on to say this. Here's the promise. If any man be in Christ, he is a new, King James says, creature, but it's a new creation. Now listen to this. This is wild. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let's just pause for a second. Take it in. This is his creation. He made this. He spoke it into existence. And get this. This is it in its fallen state. And look how beautiful it is. I mean, imagine what it was like in perfection when he first made it before sin. Now, that's pretty complex, isn't it? To speak the stars and the sun and the moon and the universe into being. To have what we behold right now, the light bearer. There was light before there was the light bearer, the sun. I don't get to do this a lot in Rochester. Check it out, the sun. Like, this is wild. God gave me this ability here to have this illustration today. This is pretty vast and beyond measure of comprehension here of his creation. He did this. I hope that blows you away. Well, I think even more impressive than this creation that we're beholding is when he makes you and me a new creation. And the reason for that is this, because he created everything from nothing, the Bible says. He started from scratch. There was nothingness. There was just the triune God dwelling in nothingness, if you would, and he spoke this into being. So he started from scratch. More complex than that is taking you and I with all of our tendencies, all of our sin issues, all of our struggles, all of our Adam-likeness, all of our fallenness, him taking that and not being able to work from scratch, but taking what we bring to him and molding us and shaping us into a new creation. He makes us a new creation, a fresh creation, brand new, unused. That's what we become, uncommon. We are uncommon. There's nobody else like us that God has made, quite like us. And he's desperate for us. There's this invitation, if any man, any person, be in Christ, that's position. Listen, here's the promise. He will become a new creation. And then he goes on to tell us this here. Not only does he get to become new, but then he says, fourthly here, there's this passing away. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. They're gone. They're removed from you. Everything you've ever done that you're ashamed of. Like today we're going to take these individuals and we're going to dunk them. And that's what this symbolizes as they go down into the water. That's their old life buried with Christ. That old things passed away. No more shame. No more guilt. And it's not a scandal. It's not like just some hoopla that we've worked up to present to you today. It's Jesus Christ is the just one and the justifier, because 21 tells you in this chapter, he became our sin for us. So payment was made. There's no ripoff here. Payment was made. Jesus became sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God. And old things are buried with him at the foot of the cross. And he never wants you to venture back to them again. You're set free. No condemnation. He doesn't stick your face in something that you did 10 years ago, 10 weeks ago, or even 10 minutes ago. Old things are passed away. He takes them and he casts them into the depths of the sea, and he remembers them no more. And he wants you to remember them no more either. He wants you to fixate your mind on you're a new creation. You're a new creation. Old things are passing away. They're gone because of, in closing, he's the propitiation. He became the place where the wrath of God was poured out for us. The wrath of God was poured out on Jesus for our sins so that we can experience this newness of life. And that's what we're here today doing. We're celebrating that. We got like 40-something people that have decided today to take a stand with Jesus, to go public with it. It's just like we often say, man, they're putting their wedding band on. The wedding band doesn't save you. Water or doesn't make you married. The water baptism doesn't save you. It's just a symbol of, it's an outward expression of the inward commitment. I forgot my wedding band today because my hands were so swollen from the heat this morning. I was outside doing things. And I'm not married because I'm not wearing my wedding band. It's just when my wedding band is on, it symbolizes that I am married. Water baptism symbolizes that you belong to Christ and Christ belongs to you. You're putting a stake in the ground. You're going to remember this day, I hope, for the rest of your lives. July 4, 2021, Freedom Fest, right? Christ set me free. I'm walking in newness of life. So listen, if you're here today and you're watching, that's what's going on. These people are saying, I've decided to follow Jesus. And they want you to know because the Bible says that that's what we're supposed to do. In fact, the last words that Jesus gave to his disciples before he ascended back into heaven in Matthew 28, was going to all the world and preach the gospel and baptize every man and woman in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost, so that they can be reconciled to God. My last words, I want men to be reconciled to me, Jesus said. So that's what these folks are doing. They're showing you the seriousness in their heart of their commitment to Jesus. If you're here today and you say, I want it. If you're here today and you say, I want in. Listen, the temperature is warm enough. You don't need a towel. You'll dry quick. You get in this line, you receive Jesus. You got to receive and believe first. You receive Jesus Christ. There's going to be elders and pastors that will be able to speak with you in the line, and you get water baptized today. If you're here and you know Christ, but you need to put a stake in the ground, you need this experience of newness of life. You've never been water baptized, or you were water baptized when you were young, and you've walked away from Jesus. And you want to come back to him. What a great opportunity today to get in the line, get in the pool, and start afresh with the Lord. He is gracious. He is kind. He is long-suffering. He is merciful. He is compassionate. And his arms extend and reach out today through this ambassador, me, through my lips and through our lives, that Jesus loves you. He's for you. He wants you. And he begs all men to come to him. So let's do it. Let's do it, okay? We're going to invite the guys up. We're going to help me out with the baptism here. We got a couple of teams. The line is going to form along this walkway to my left. Pastor Larry's at the end there. He'll direct you. So if you're getting water baptized, get in line. The rest of you guys, listen, let's clap. Let's celebrate newness of life when people come up out of the water. Let's sing to the Lord. Maria's going to lead us in praise and worship. And let's just take it in. Usually you have fireworks at the end of the day. These are our fireworks. Like, this is it right here. So let's enjoy this. God bless you.